Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Over the life of this program, guests have appeared on the show explaining that, in today's business world, a website is a necessity. You have heard them tell you how to go about designing the site, making sure that site appears on the top searches on the web, how to drive customers to your site, and how to make sure the site's easy to navigate for the user. Building a website to represent your brand online is neither easy nor cheap if it's done right. After a finished website is launched, tested, and applauded, everyone involved breathes a sigh of relief and hopes they never have to worry about it ever again. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But the desire to go hands-off after a site launch is real for many companies. And as a small business owner, you made sure your website was the best it could be. But as a small business owner, you don't have the time to always make sure your site is reflecting your business correctly. Does it allow your clients, and more important, your potential clients, the ability to navigate it with ease? In other words, is it user-friendly? The thing is, even great websites require maintenance. What kind of maintenance? It depends. You first need to conduct a website audit to find out what updates are necessary. But you say to yourself, we just built the website. Do we still need an audit? Yeah, I'm sorry, you do. I could give you a number of analogies here, like changing the oil in your car, tuning an instrument, pruning a plant. But the point is, your website needs to be taken care of in order to function the way it should, both for the user and for your business. And on the internet, where new technology emerges daily and best practices are constantly shifting, that means staying as up-to-date as possible. Another slightly less metaphorical reason to conduct a website audit? Well, we're guessing that you've decided to add to your website in the last year. You know, you put up maybe blog posts, maybe press releases. You have new landing pages. You have call to actions. Maybe you've even got a case study or a testimonial. If so, that's great. Now, do all of these new pieces of content have links? Good. Do you know where they all go? All those links are live, non-directed, and sending your users down the best path to generate lead conversions. Are all the title tags, now that's the website title of the page, and the metadata descriptions, now that's the concise description of the page, are they within the character limits? Are they optimized for search? Even if you're not regularly adding pages to the main site, it's incredibly easy for a website to become a web of new content that is both hard to navigate for the user and damaging to your site's search optimization and overall credibility. That doesn't mean you shouldn't add new content to your site, but it does mean that you need to take the time to review your site's growth annually, so if it doesn't get out of hand. So what's involved in a website audit? Well, with me to discuss website audits and why it's something you should do on a regular basis is Charlie Birch. Now, Charlie is the owner of Charlie Birch Consulting. She, that's right, Charlie is a she, specializes in web design. In her own words, I am a web designer on a mission to elevate the small local business ecosystem by providing business owners with high-quality website education and redesign services. Well, welcome to Score Business Points, Charlie.
Thank you. Wow. What an introduction. You're very knowledgeable. You definitely did your research, and I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. But in talking with you before we went on the air, we talked about how you got into this business, because you really didn't start out to be a web designer.
Not at
all. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you came to be a web designer?
Yeah, absolutely. So since I'm speaking to a fairly local audience, I'll tell you I grew up down in Ocean City, New Jersey. I went to Charter Tech High School for the Performing Arts as a dancer, and then I eventually ended up in graduate school studying dance movement therapy, which is an expressive art therapy format. And one thing led to another. I decided I didn't want to pursue a counseling license, and I got into the coaching world instead, and that took me into the online business world. And when you're in the online business world, you need a website. And so I hired someone who I thought was a good friend of mine to help me design my website for lots of reasons. That didn't work out. It cost me a lot of money, and I got no website. So my budget was out the window and I had to, you know, roll up my sleeves and figure out how to build my site myself. That was about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And since that time, I've participated and worked for a lot of different startups and just kept finding myself in a position to be in charge of or at least co-manage the website associated with that business. When I left the most recent startup I was a part of, when we moved to New Jersey, I decided I wanted to do something that was a little bit more relevant to the community that I lived in. I was feeling a little bit isolated in my home office with all my professional relationships being virtual. And so I took a look around, what were some of the needs of the local business community and what are some of the skills that I picked up along the way. And I landed on website redesign specifically. I think a lot of designers focus on that initial design project that's like really snazzy and fun. But generally speaking, you want to keep your website current. One, because it lets your customers know you're still in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you alluded to, the best practices are always changing, especially Google's getting more and more sophisticated. So it's really important to keep your website current. And generally, we'd say like every 5 years, you want to be doing a full redesign of your site. And so I thought I would come in and see if I could help some of the local businesses in my area get up to date. And one thing led to another. And now that's my full time.
Mm-hmm. And how long has it been full time for you now?
I started advertising this work about a little bit over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
So I'm completely self-taught as a web designer, which I think is really important for my clientele, for brick and mortar businesses, because I'm really able to speak their language.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to come at you with a bunch of tech jargon and a bunch of, you know, design, you know.
You're right. I have no idea what they're saying when they talk to me about that
stuff. I mean, sometimes it's like, and I think that's a really a big commitment that I have made to my customer base. I think it's really important for you to be fully able to comprehend what it is you're buying and why, because at the end of the day, like, I'm an expert on designing a website, but you're the expert on your business and you need to be able to make informed decisions about the bigger strategy and how your website fits into that. But I also make a huge point. A lot of designers will design the site, keep the hosting, have you call them if they need anything, bill you for maintenance. And all of the packages that I do with my clients always involve training someone on their staff to, and sometimes that's a virtual assistant that they decide to bring on board, to make sure that they know how to manage and access their site themselves, because it is a dynamic asset. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's something that to make the most of your website, you need to constantly be leveraging it in different ways, doing a different promotion, you know, adding a new piece of content, a new service line, a new product line. And as a small business, your budget shouldn't be coming to me as a designer. It should mm-hmm. be going towards paid advertisements, sponsoring community events, these types of things. And okay. So I think it's very important for people
right.
to...
All right. So you've been doing this for, well, or professionally now for a year or more.
Yeah.
All right. And we're talking about website redesign. So in doing the research for the show, I came across a few sites that listed tools that could be used to conduct an audit. So some of the tools were SE ranking website audit, something called Screaming Frog, SE Optimizer, My Site Auditor, Marketing Grader, Site Analyzer. My understanding of these tools is that they're focused more on what they call SEO, which is search engine optimization, right?
Correct, yes.
And your audit focuses on design.
Correct.
Okay. So tell us how these two types of audits differ and, more importantly, how a design audit can help the small business owner.
Absolutely. Great question. So, the primary difference is that an SEO audit is looking at the technical components of your site, the back-end coding of the site, the way that Google as a robot reads your site. And the design audit is looking at the customer experience when they visit the front end of the site. They are interrelated. It is important that you have both high quality design and high quality SEO, especially as Google becomes more and more intelligent. They are starting to be able to, their algorithm is now intelligent enough to consider user experience. So even if you have the best keyword strategy in the world in place and you're getting loads and loads of traffic to your site and it's all super targeted, if your design and your user experience is subpar and you have a high bounce rate, or the content on the site isn't actually fulfilling the search query that the person came into the site looking to have answered, Google's going to take note of that and they'll start to penalize you as well. And there's a couple other things in the audit that have to do with kind of the way that SEO and design marry, if you will. That is part of what I explore when
you talk about. You talk about Google. I mean, that is the biggest search engine out there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So just to get off the plan, what happened with Bing and Yahoo and a few of the others?
You know, I mean, well, so Yahoo was kind of the forefront of the search engine world. But I think Google has really done a great job of diversifying their products, especially in terms of their maps, especially from a brick and mortar perspective. Like, as a local business, the most important thing you can do for your website is have a business Google listing, because and especially in these shore towns where you're getting a lot of tourist traffic. Google's done a really good job of diversifying their product line in a way that makes them unavoidable for both the consumer and the business owner, and just dominated in that way. Yeah, and I think that's,
I know that I, no matter where you go and all the search engines and stuff that I see, everything is Google. Everyone says Google it.
It's the standard.
It's become like Kleenex is now is the name for tissues,
right,
rather than, you know, rather than a tissue paper or going to somebody else.
Right.
I'm going to get a Kleenex.
Crayola crayons.
Yeah, that kind. So it's kind of taken over the world.
Yes.
And I'm surprised, because Bing was Microsoft, and I'm surprised that they're very big, and that the Bing just kind of is on the wayside.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Microsoft was more of a software and even a hardware company, whereas Google was really a search first. And now you see Google moving into more of the hardware with the phone. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the landscape.
Well, let's get back to design. We got off the topic a little bit, but it's a lot of fun. It's my understanding that there are a lot of parts to a design audit and your signature design audit. You have branding, site architecture, content, and SEO. So could you go over each one of these segments and explain to me and the listeners what they entail? And like I said, I don't understand this stuff. So talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
I will do my best. My youngest niece is now 7, so I'm a little bit out of practice on the 5-year-old, but I'll do my best. So branding is the first thing I look at. Branding is kind of a buzzword these days, but often overcomplicated topic. It's actually quite simple. It's the look and feel of, it's the personality of your business beyond what you do. It's how you do it. And so from a website perspective, in the audit, what I'm looking at is basically your logo as this jumping off point. Do the colors and the fonts that you've chosen to represent your brand in your logo get carried out throughout the site? Is there a cohesive visual identity that's being delivered to the customer? And this is one of those things that it's easy to like, oh, whatever, you know, fancy branding, that's for big corporations. But that attention to detail and that experience of cohesion, whether it's conscious or unconscious, is going to contribute to whether or not you win your customers' trust. And there's a lot of research that shows that a big part of the first impression is, whether it's positive or not, is judged purely on the visual presentation and its currency, relevance to the modern, you know, vibes of the customer.
Right. What is site architecture?
Site architecture is, so I mean, most people who have used a website would know that at the top of the site, you're going to have some kind of menu. You'd have about page, you have a products page, you have a frequently asked questions page. You have these kind of core pages, what we call parent pages, that you're drawing your user's attention to. And then as you're scrolling down the page, you have the layout. So you have these two components of the site architecture. And what happens sometimes is that people try to get really creative with the way that they put things on their navigation menu, and they want to be really clever with the wording, but the customer doesn't necessarily know what those things mean, right. Or they get confused about the purpose of the navigation menu. So what I look for is it very straightforward? Is it easy for me to understand what you want me to do? And then is it easy to navigate? So the site structure is really about the organization of the information and the flow that you would experience. Do I get lost quickly? Do I get lost eventually? Are there, for example, you mentioned landing pages. A landing page has a sole purpose, take one action, whereas a home page is an introduction summary to your site. So you want to be looking at how the site in each page is plugged into the bigger architecture. A landing page, you don't want people wandering off. You want them clicking that button. You want them getting that coupon code. You want them coming into your store and using that coupon, you know? So that's what I look at in the site architecture. The next thing is what I call the core content elements. And this is where my like copywriter personality comes into the mix and also circles back to the idea of trust that I talked about with the branding, is that people they're not tech ignorant. They're very tech savvy. And whether they realize it or not, they expect to see certain types of content on your site. And if those things are missing, it, again, consciously or unconsciously, makes them question your legitimacy. They want to see a privacy policy, even if they don't read it. If it's not there, it's like, I don't know. It makes me a little unsettled. They want to see an about page. They want to know about your company and the people behind. People want to do business with people. So there's these certain types of content elements that I look for that, you know, just for whatever reason, sometimes get lost in the shuffle of the design process or aren't featured in a clear enough way. And then the SEO piece, like I said, there's a huge umbrella topic, SEO. And I would not by any means say if you want to run like a big SEO campaign, I'm not the person to do that. I will refer out till the sun goes down. Uh-huh. But from a design perspective, there are certain elements of the design that I talk to my clients about SEO responsible design. For example, you mentioned the metadata, the alt text, and these things also interact with whether or not your website is ADA compliant, which is a big buzz topic right now.
What the hell is that?
Americans Disability Act.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Is it an accessible site? Is it easy for people with physical and visual impairments to navigate the site using extra pieces of technology?
Okay.
And so doing these SEO responsible designs is going to not only be good for Google, but it's also going to protect you from some serious liability.
Okay. Now that we know about the various parts of the audit. So how do you go about conducting a design audit?
Yeah, great question. So the tools that you mentioned in the beginning, those are pieces of technology. You type in your website and it runs a report because it's reading the technical components. When I do an audit, it takes me about an hour to do, and I have my 31 points that I'm looking for. And I go through, I have, you know, a best practice outline for each one. I let the customer know on a pass-fail basis if this particular best practice has been adhered to or implemented correctly. Sometimes what I'll find is like on the homepage, it was done correctly. And then on three other pages, it's not. And so then there's kind of like a pass and fail. But ultimately, if it didn't totally pass, it didn't pass. And then I'll give them my recommendations. If this was my site, if this was my client's site, this is how I would fix it. So it's really a review and an actionable resource that you can use in-house to correct the problems. If you have an existing designer that you're working with, you can take it to them and say, look, I got the second opinion, no offense to you, but like, it's always good to have an outside perspective. You know, it's like you can't necessarily edit your own term paper because you've read it so many times. You see what you want to see. The same thing happens with design. So I even tell my clients, go get a second opinion from a different person, even if it's not a professional, it's good to have outside eyes, or you can hire me to come in and fix it for you.
Well, what about social media? Should a small business owner look at that as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this kind of goes back to the idea of cohesion. What you really don't want is Social media is a great tool to drive traffic to your website. It's a great tool to engage your audience, but it's not necessarily the place where you want the information about your business to live, because it's very susceptible to what they call the algorithm changes, which basically means Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn could come in at any moment and be like, you know what, all these best practices you're following, we're changing the rules on you, and your visibility goes away. Uh-huh. And if you're only connecting with your audience there, you're going to lose out. Whereas if you're driving traffic to your website and you're building an email list, you have a much more targeted way. So they work together. They're very interrelated, but I would definitely recommend you have both. And along those lines, back to the idea of cohesion, you want to make sure that when somebody's going from your Facebook page, for example, over to your website, that visual component is consistent, so they're not, oh, maybe this is a similar company with a different a name, yeah, is the same, but is it the same company because the logo looks different? Or, you know, on your Facebook page you have a picture of yourself and then over here you have different fonts, and there's just that little bit of
uncertainty. So when you go from a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page, or everything should look from
it
your website,
should, look
should
the
all
same.
Look the same.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, don't take the Facebook banner and put it on Instagram because the dimensions might not be the same, uh-huh, you know, but make sure that the color codes are the same. Make sure you're using similar fonts. If you're running a promotion on your Facebook, like, don't just send people to your homepage and make them find the place to access the promotion, like send them to a targeted landing page. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interdynamic relationship, okay, between social, and they each serve their own purpose.
Right. This just goes back to something that these third party sites that businesses can post on, like, I think it's those, the best word I can think of is like, a rating site, you know, the Yelp and a couple,
yes,
of other things.
Yelp,
but what about those? Art. Should the when you're doing a website redesign, should be looking at those as well?
Yes, I would think. One of the things with doing a redesign that you want to look at is, first of all, the age of the site, and is it getting a lot of traffic? Because you want to be careful when you redesign the site, especially if you're moving it to a new platform, that you don't kind of cut your legs off, mm-hmm, by you know, interfering with what was working just to get a better visual effect. A big part of what's going to help you perform well on Google, and this is arguably more or less important depending on the type of business you are, like a restaurant, you really just need to be on Google Maps, you, mm-hmm, know, but a doctor's office where, you know, you're trying to get the client or the patient over from a different, there's a lot of competition, you might be more important for you to perform well. Or there might be other sites where people are going to search for you that are databases. So it is important to have your site be part of the bigger matrix of the internet. And that's one of those places where those websites are going to come in handy. And again, you want to, if you are in a certain industry, you want to know the kind of databases where people go and search. Like, for example, if you're a yoga studio, you might want to make sure you have a profile on what they call MindBody, which is a big database of all the cool body-centered classes you can take in your area, and it'll link back to your website. That'll give your website more authority. But again, if you're only paying attention to the branding and content and updates on your website, and somebody lands on this other third-party app first, and you haven't updated that, the information's not correct, you know, the phone number changed, the location is different, you could be leaving a lot of money on the table that way.
Well, now that you've conducted the audit, so what should the business owner expect as the results?
So the result of the audit is really going to be that you have a very clear idea of what your site's strengths and weaknesses are from a customer experience perspective. And that's what I've toyed around with the idea of putting out a self-audit checklist as a freebie that people can download. And I might still do that, but the real value of the audit is that you get, like, yeah, I'm a website designer. That's my expertise. Yay, you know, hire me because I'm an expert. Sure. But really the main benefit is getting intentional feedback from an outside perspective about what's confusing, what's off-putting, what's not working, so that you can elevate your site mm-hmm. and make it the best it can absolutely be, and not be feeling like you're just throwing a website up and like, I don't know, maybe it's maybe it's going to do what I want. You know, there's that trial and error, and it's constantly. Years ago, I talked with a friend of mine who ran a kind of downtown Main Street marketing agency. This was before I was in the marketing space, and like it's kind of embarrassing to admit now, but I said, you know, could I hire you for a marketing campaign, and can I pay you on commission on the results of the marketing campaign? He's like, no. It's like, well, why not? Like, aren't you promising me results? He's like, no, I'm promising you collaboration, because everything in marketing is trial and error.
Right.
You never know what's going to work until it does. And so the more feedback you can have, the more information you can gather about your site, the more conscious and intentional choices you can make about refining, polishing, perfecting a really important asset. And that's really the value of the audit, is to be able to say, you know, your customers or your potential customers, if they land on your site and they don't like it, they're just going to leave. They're not going to call you and be like, you know, I found your website really confusing. So to get that feedback, sometimes you really need to explicitly ask for it and invest in it.
And that's what they're doing for you. You do the work, and you turn it over to them and let them.
Yes. And it's
up to them to do what they want to do with it.
Actionable guide. And like I tell them, they can, they get a one-on-one call with me in addition to the report. So I'll walk them through, make sure it's really clear. If they have any questions, or if they're like, I don't know how to log into my website back office and change this, I can most of the time help them through that. They also get a $300 credit towards any redesign work that they hire me to do. So there's no pressure to hire me. There's no upsell conversation, but there is, you know, if you do decide, you know what, I'd like to get some additional help implementing this, my time is better used elsewhere, or I'm done trying to be an expert in everything, you know, then they can come to me, and there is like a little bit of a benefit of having been an audit client first.
All right. So last question then. So you do a website audit. How often? You said something earlier in our conversation about 5 years. Is that the norm? How often should the business owner be doing a website audit, and why?
I think probably from an SEO perspective, if you find one of those free SEO tools that you like, if you're updating your website on a regular basis, run it once a month.
Because, oh, wow.
You know, it's easy to run, and it'll tell you things like, you know, just about how Google sees your website, and they're not hard things to fix, and they're usually free. Like, run those as often as possible. The design audit, I would say at most, you know, once a year, it's a good idea to do that. And then in terms of, you know, sitting down with a designer and saying, you know, it's time to refresh my online presence, that's about every 5 years.
I see. Well, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah.
I appreciate it for being here, and you passed along a lot of good information.
Thank you. It's
okay.
Been fun.
And I hope the business goes well as well. Okay, listeners, you know, the business website, that's an extension of your business. It reflects the image that you, the owner, wish the public to see. It only makes sense that as the business owner, you should make sure this image is always the correct one. And that's what she was saying. And it's always the same across everything. As you've heard, each time the business website gets updated, something can go wrong. Enough updates, and there could be a change to that entire image. So as Charlie said, you should periodically conduct a website audit to make sure your image remains intact. Or maybe you wish to change that image. An audit will show you where you need to make changes. Possibly a complete redesign. And that's not as unusual as you think. The internet is continually changing entity. And as you look in the and the look of the feel of all websites change constantly. With the ever-changing technology, when it comes to web design, a site can look stale very quickly. You don't want your clients and potential clients thinking your business is behind the times. So conduct your website design audits at least on an annual basis, like Charlie said, more often if you're making website updates fairly frequently. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any previous Score Business Point show, you may email us at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a comment about this show or any other show, you can email us at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org.
Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so,
send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert like my guest and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd again like to thank my guest, Charlie Birch, for being with us today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.